Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
The busiest time of year. We love it. NFL draft last night. What a weekend of playoffs that we have on the ice and on the court as well. The Braves are in town, Bart Scott. Man, there's so much going on.
Boo.
But you know what? We are going to begin all this with your expertise. Your time to shine. Because the Jets and Giants both went defense last night in the first round. Some surprise on the Jets side of things that they did not try to do anything to either move up or whatever. And, of course, the Patriots do what they do to screw it up and take away the last tackle that the Jets might have wanted to get at 15. And some people might say, see? See, you gave too much for Aaron Rodgers because you had to move back and draft and blow out of the crowd. They went defense, and nobody on the airwaves in New York, nobody, I'm talking anybody you could try to name to me that's on the air in New York, can talk defense in the NFL like Bart Scott. No one. So there's nowhere else to go to get the perspective that you need about your team and what they did in the first round. So, Bart, I'm not going to waste any damn time taking up any more air. I'm going to put out the number 800-919-3776 so the people know that they can start by listening, and then they can call in to ask you questions and everything else they want to talk about when it comes to the first round of the NFL draft. And then everything that's coming after this, of course, as the second round and more you get tonight and then on Saturday. So, Bart, without any further ado, let's do this. Let's begin with the Jets, since that is our team, of course, the flagship station, yeah. Flagship station of the Jets. And let's just begin with the number 15 pick in the draft. They went Will McDonald from Iowa State, a linebacker. You know linebackers. Tell me about this pick, what you think of it, and then, of course, what options the Jets did have, and maybe also what this says about why they went linebacker at the 15th overall pick.
Well, first of all, can I start with my – traditional Texas, what are you doing? All you guys are so dumb. Love the players. CJ Stroud, tremendous. Will Anderson, tremendous. You gave up a first round draft pick next year in third round for a team that's probably going to be picking top five again. How dumb. I understand you want to look like you won the draft. You won the battle. They will lose the war. They could have got Jalen Carter at 12 or moved up then. To give up a future first-round draft pick just so you can pick back-to-back was a major, major mistake. But that's their problem, not ours, in the tri-state area. Let's talk about Will McDonald the fourth. I wonder if that comes with some Grey Poupon, huh? You know what I'm saying? But when you look at it, you have to ask yourself, okay, what do we have to do in this division? We're going to have to hunt and track down Josh Allen. We're going to have to get and destroy Tua Tagovailoa. Now this gives you an opportunity to have a player that still hasn't grown into his body yet. At 6'4", 240 pounds, he's a guy that can bend 35 sacks, a guy that can get to the quarterback and finish, but also a guy that can run guys down. Remember that game last year when Jermaine Johnson got outflanked and he ran down Josh Allen, and Joe Douglas was saying that's exactly why we got him, because we have to be able to hunt and chase down these fast, athletic quarterbacks. Now, if my guys on the outside run 4.4s and have long body frames, then that means that I can contain these quarterbacks and run them down. And that's exactly what this kid is going to do for you. But, oh, that's just the beginning of the story. Because remember, A-Aaron did the Jets a favor, pushed a lot of that money, a lot of cheese on that taco to next year. But when you look at it, really what this does is this gives the Jets options. I think you have to have real conversations right now about Carl Lawson and his hefty $15 million salary cap hit. You can cut him now, and you can save $11 million. Why would you want to save $11 million, Bart? This is the Jets trying to make a run, trying to get to the Super Bowl. Well, You have a guy that's not a real happy guy right now that have earned a tremendous bag. His name's Quinn Williams. He deserves it. To get his money, this will give you tremendous flexibility, because guess who else I'm calling into the principal's office? If I can't trade you, Corey Davis, I got to cut you. That's another $11 million. This will give the Jets $22 million underneath the salary cap. So you ask yourself, well, why do they want space underneath the salary cap? You can sign Quinnen Williams. You can take some of the money left over. He might eat $7 million of your salary cap. So you can have potentially about $13 million underneath the salary cap. That's annual years. It's not just $13 million. It's annual years. So you can push and play with signing bonuses. And then you say, well, this guy's a rookie. How are we going to depend on a rookie? Well, you have Jermaine Johnson, who's going to a second year. He has to graduate. You have Franklin Myers. You got Quinnen. You got Huff, who's the closer, right? So now you say, okay, well, maybe these guys aren't ready. What can I do? Well, it's two guys out there in free agency that hasn't signed yet. And what did I tell you about the Aaron Rodgers effect? The Aaron Rodgers effect is, hey, I just want to win. Because if I'm Justin Houston, I made a lot of money in my career. Now I'm just playing for Super Bowls. That's why he went to Baltimore, to play with Action Jackson, because he wanted to win a Super Bowl. And you want to say, well, Bart, he's 34 years old. Yeah. But tell me this, smart guy. How many sacks did he have last year? Yeah, that would be 11. He's one of the greatest sack artists of all time. Now this gives you a young kid that can learn from a guy like Justin Houston and be able to eat. Well, Bart, I don't know if I want an old guy. He can get hurt. Okay. How about this? I give you another guy. His name's Yannick Ngakoue. All he is a pass rush specialist, but he can't find a home. He's bounced from team to team to team. But whoa, can he get to the quarterback? He's probably going to have to sign a one-year deal. Bart, I don't know. I don't know if I want these guys. He can't stop the run. Well, okay. How about I give you a 30-year-old guy in Jadeveon Clowney, who can give you that support on the first and second downs and can be that big end that can set the edge. And, yeah, he can burst the passer a bit. And then we bring in the closer and Will McDonald, say, kid, all you do is focus. What I'm trying to say is the Jets have options. And this gives you options to be able to sign your quarterback. But, Bart, you didn't get a lineman. Well, you can't have it all, son, right? So now what does this do when you have extra money? This gives you an opportunity to go out and get you a veteran lineman. I understand it's not ideal. You want a young guy. But you weren't dependent on finding a starter anyway. You wanted a quality backup in case Becton couldn't stay healthy. So if that's the case, this gives you an opportunity to still have money to go get, once again, a guy that's trying to reset their value in the market. You can go out and get a veteran tackle to help you to get some depth in case Dwayne Brown can't stay healthy, in case Becton can't stay healthy. And what I'm trying to tell you is last year, Vera Tucker proved to you that he's your third tackle. If something happens, you bring in another guard, or you bring in Max Mitchell, or you bring in another guard, and you say, okay, Vera Tucker, we need you to go play tackle. So the Jets have more flexibility and scheme flexibility than you may think. And this is an opportunity that when you go and you play against Patrick Mahomes, you got pass rushers that can close the deal. That's why Buffalo went out and got Von Miller, because they needed guys who can close the show. It's going to come down to the fourth quarter, and they're going to get guys that can close the show in the fourth quarter. So I applaud what the Jets have done. It wasn't ideal because, of course, Bill Belichick being a hater, by helping Pittsburgh, who he doesn't see as a threat, he knows that, hey, he can hurt the Jets because he don't want A-Ron back there burping the baby too long and getting too comfortable in the pocket. And this just put a wrench in the Jets plan. But this also gives the Jets an opportunity to have flexibility to start clearing up salary cap space so that you can get Quinnen in the building and he can get ready to have another dominant season and continue to ride this great wave that we have here with the Jets.
That's all an incredible breakdown. Incredible breakdown, especially on the salary cap aspects of it and moves that you can make. And the idea that they go, though, with the linebacker.
And he's not really a linebacker. He's a linebacker in a 3-4 in a tradition, right? But he's basically a DN. He can be, he's going to be a DN in this system. Because they don't run a 3-4.
All right, before we hear from Joe Douglas on you know, again, why what they saw in him and why they believe he's the guy, I keep hearing about his bend. Can you explain what bend means? Everybody knows this, so go ahead and explain.
You're talking about turning that corner, right? And when you turn that corner, you know, it's talking about being able to lean, and you got all that weight on that inside foot, but you're still bending as they're pushing underneath you. And these big fat guys, they can't bend, some of them, right? So you get underneath them, and you're at that power point, and you're able to bend. It's about ankle flexion. Right? It's crazy. Like, people don't understand. It's ankle flexion. For anybody out there, I'll tell you, if you can tell if you got tight ankles or tight hips, go to a wall, put both of your hands on it, right? Put your feet maybe a little bit away from the wall. Now, I want you to keep your foot flat. Keep it flat. Don't put your heels up. And I want to see you bend your knee and try and make your knee touch the wall without letting your feet go up. Or I want you to sit down and do a squat and drop your butt below and try and make your butt touch the ground and see if your heels come up on your toes. That's how you know if you can bend. This guy has tremendous bend at certain angles that it is rare that you can bend like that and get underneath guys. You see Von Miller, guy that has tremendous bend, and this kid has it. So being able to bend that corner means coming at a 95, let me see, a Sosceles angle, I don't know what it is, one of those angles where you like, how is this dude still like moving when he's damn near? It's like I put it like this for people: when you see those motorcycle guys and they hit those turns, and you're like, "How's the bike not flipping?" Yeah. And this dude's knee is basically scraping the damn pavement. Mm-hmm. That's been in the NFL.
So that's a perfect way to describe it. All right, Joe Douglas. Everybody expected you would go with an offensive lineman, mainly because, of course, it's Aaron Rodgers. Or at least some type of offensive weapon because of Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers with the Packers many times had the gas face on the first round because they always took a defensive player. So you went with a defensive player. This is from SNY, his interview with them after he made the pick. What is it that you saw in Will McDonald out of Iowa State?
Yeah, I mean, there's some elite traits to work with Will. Start with the length, start with the takeoff, start with the bend, agility, burst, ability to get to the quarterback and get the ball out once he does get to the quarterback. So those things jump out first. And it was on full display when we went down to Mobile this year. And you see the spin move, you see the speed rush. So I think that he has all the tools to make an impact on this defense.
I mean, this is a guy that they said he did cause a lot of turnovers.
35 sacks, man.
It's something the Jets defense certainly would love to, you know, loves to do. And I'm going to feel like, Bart, this was once Broderick Jones was off the board, the Jets had to pivot. I thought they were going to trade back. I thought, you know what? There's nobody here. Let's just get some draft capital and get out of the 15 spot.
Hell
but instead,
no.
Maybe it was Robert Saleh said, that's my guy, and they got Robert Saleh a guy. How do you feel about that?
I mean, you always want to lean the defense if you can because you got to protect your quarterback and you got to harass the opposing team's quarterback.
Yep.
And the Jets plan to be in meaningful games. You hope that you're going to be playing with a lead, right, with Aaron having a bit of a lead. And when you get that lead, what are you going to do with that lead? You got to be able to close the show. So I think, you know, when you think about it, that's pretty much where we are with everything that they saw. Okay, we have an opportunity to get guys, you know, a closer. A guy. How many times did we see Huff come off in specialty situations and close the show?
Yeah,
like just like yo, this dude been fresh.
All right, what if I said to you that's one of the counters I'd have? You already have Huff. Why do you need this guy?
Because you need him from both sides. And you listen, you don't know who can be healthy. And if you have a guy, just say if you keep Carl Lawson, he's a free agent after this year. So you see what you do. Do we not need to look at the master class that is the Philadelphia Eagles, right? Why would you got Fletcher Cox and Jared Davis. Why would you go out and get this guy? Because Fletcher Cox is here for 1 year and he's out. Well, why would you go get the other kid, right? Well, you go get him because Brandon Graham is 34 years old. Even though he had 11 sacks, he signed for 1 year. So once those guys graduate, you already have somebody that they can learn from and somebody that can fit right into your scheme. And then guess what? You're going from $15 million a year to $2 million a year, $3 million a year. So now you're cheap again. So now while you're paying A-Rod $102 million next year, now you got more space to do that because you've replaced him in the draft. You have to have an influx of players that's replacing because the NFL, because it's a hard cap, is about the redistribution of funds. It's a redistribution. It's money goes here. Now we got to put it here, and now we got to replace that with quality players and cheaper players. So you may have a luxury pick or a luxury place, but that guy's going to age out because he's cost too much, and you got to find a cheaper option.
Well, it's here's
like going to Costco. That's why we go to Costco's.
Will McDonald, by the way, loved being a Jet. Loved the idea of joining this what Robert Saleh defense. Loved coming to New York, and he talked about why he fits with the Jets.
I feel like I can kind of like adapt to, you know, any type of fit he throws at me. You know, I'm that versatile type of player. He could put me in any position. I'm able to make the job go, and so, you know, I'm proud that he was able to see that in me, and, you know, I'm just ready to get to work.
Now let me add this last thing before we move on to now the Giants pick. And we'll get to your calls at 800-919-3776 on both picks, both the Jets and the Giants. We'll get into all the calls with you. But I do want to add this part. I found it amazing, Bart, that last night while I'm following that along with, of course, Rangers, Devils, and everything, and the Celtics were playing last night.
You see that little pillow fight, man, they had? Man, I'm like, come on, man.
Listen.
Come on with this pillow fight.
The Devils have grown up right before our eyes. I'll get into that. But I want to say this, just one thing about criticism, especially from fans, that you're always going to get that. You're always going to get complaints. What has Joe Douglas done in the last two drafts that you would not give him even the least bit of benefit of the doubt? What has Joe Douglas done in the last two drafts to get the roster where it is to a point where Aaron Rodgers looked at it and said, that's a place I'd like to be. I can win with that team. What has Joe Douglas done that you think that you could go to your keyboard and start calling him out and calling this a bad pick or a bad decision or being critical? You, somebody that is watching casually.
Yeah.
I cannot believe what I saw. And I'll tell you what, too.
Watch no film.
I'll say this from even some of the beat writers. Are you guys kidding me that you're going to now sit there and go, it's a bad pick? It's a bad what? What do you know that you think you have a better idea than what Joe Douglas has done in the last 2 years in the draft? That's the stuff that it makes me sick. Because I laugh at it. And I got friends of mine that texted me as well. And I'm like, man, come on. Man, will you live? I mean, has Joe Douglas not done enough at this point for you to at least say, well, he must know something, so let's see what happens, instead of, this is terrible. Awful pick. Terrible pick. Like, I cannot believe the stuff I read last night when I'm just looking for some reaction to the pick. And I'm like, are you – like, every – you know that kid, the Make-A-Wish kid last night when he came up and introduced that?
Yeah,
how
I introduced
great
him.
His, his energy was off the charts. Easy. I was so happy for that kid. Every fan right now should be as enthusiastic as that boy, because you've got a GM that knows what the hell he's doing. And we're going to now, because at 15, there wasn't an offensive tackle, go, oh, my God, awful, terrible. Yeah. Same old Jets. We suck.
I would ask those fans this. Who's Max Judon? No. Who's Max Judon? Who's the Darius Smith? Oh, well, these are players that was around that Joe Douglas was around that found them in Baltimore. And all Max Judon did was damn near lead the league in sacks. Now is a member of the Patriots. And Za'Darius Smith was the highest paid free agent. He was with A.A. Ryan, putting in mad work. You don't know that you don't know. So just understand that you're not qualified to know what this team needs and who they need.
I cannot stand it. It's just, all right, let's not waste any more time on this. Let's just – because we got to get the Giants pick in here. Because this is one, to me, that was really curious.
Oh, Barstradamus.
Yes, you're right. They trade up because they saw – it's amazing how the draft goes. You get the quarterbacks that go three in the top four. Will Levis still waiting, by the way.
Man,
and then you get, the typical stuff that starts to fall into place. Then all of a sudden the run on the tackles came. That happened. Wide receivers were hanging around for a while. But the corners started going, and Joe Shane was like, oh, we can't wait any longer. Yep. So they give up a couple of later round picks to get up to 24. They make a deal with Jacksonville, and then they go out and get Deontay Banks out of Maryland, which was a name that you brought up.
Stud muffin.
So, all right, Bart. talk to me about this. They get a corner. You said the Giants should go corner. He and Adoree Jackson now could be set for the next couple of years.
First of all, you got to think. What do you got to face? You got to see Devonta Smith, A.J. Brown, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cook. What you had in place wasn't good enough. Adoree Jackson is a beast, but he's going into the last year of his deal as well, and he's a bit expensive. Giants don't have great flexibility. They got to pay Sexy Dexy as well. Maybe have to pay Saquon Barkley. So you got to be able to get cheap again at some of these luxury positions. I'm telling you, Dante Banks is 6 feet, big corner, damn near 200 pounds, physical. I know for a fact the Ravens wanted him real bad, real bad.
Yeah.
But they, you know, with the love affair they have with what's going on with Lamar Jackson, they had to do something to stay face. So they decided to go the other way. Remember, I thought that Wink and everybody was going to come back, and I thought they were going to make a run at Marcus Peters. Mm-hmm. Marcus Peters is a filthy tone setter. This guy has tremendous speed. I think he's something like a 4.240, maybe 4.3. This guy's legit. Like, this guy's going to make your defense better, and he's going to allow those pass rushers that you've invested in. When you think about Thibodeau, you think about Ojulari, you think about Sexy Dexy coming from the inside. This gives you the opportunity to make that quarterback not be able to go to his first option. He's a big corner, too. You know, Wink likes to blitz his corners sometimes. He's a big physical guy that's not afraid to get his nose dirty. I'm telling you, this guy's a tremendous player. You think about what he did in locking down some of the best corners. Remember, he played in the Big Ten, so he went against some of those Ohio State guys.
Yep.
He goes against those Penn State receivers. This guy is proven, verified, listen, certified, verified is like what I like to say. You guys got yourself a tremendous, tremendous football player. Listen, he was born in Baltimore. They make dogs.
Yeah.
They got pit bulls. All you got to do is look at Tank Davis. You raised a certain way in Baltimore. I don't even have to know this kid to tell you what type of guy, what type of attitude and mentality he brings to everyday life, let alone football. And he fits exactly with what Wink want to be, a straight-up, in-your-face, lockdown, physical corner. And he has a huge defense radius at 6 feet. He can match up with A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown ain't going to punk him and push him off, right, and physicality him. You know, Metcalf ain't going to do that. So now you're set there. Right, so now you think about the second round, man. Listen, it is a lot of good football players in the second round. Breece the Beast, Alvin Kamara, Metcalf, A.J. Brown. These are second rounders. It is tremendous value in the second round. And this is when general managers make your money, in the second and third rounds.
Of course.
Look at what –
say that the second night is the biggest night. Really.
It's the biggest
first
night.
First round is great. The second night's the biggest night.
It is more stars in this league outside of the first round than it is first round stars.
It usually does happen. Now quickly on Banks, a little more on him because you were bringing up his athleticism. 4.35 in the 40 at the combine. 42-inch vert.
What are we talking about? Preach.
42-inch vert, my man.
Preach tabernacle.
Like there's a lot to like about him and obviously the size and everything else. But you mentioned Wink. Joe Shane also brought up Wink Martindale, obviously the defensive coordinator. You know him very well, but his
Wink might have climaxed.
Joe Shane, let you know.
You guys know Wink's defense and what he likes, and Deontay fits that mold to a T. So yeah, he was ecstatic.
So it's again for the Giants. It's a pick. You said that's the way they should go. It certainly is the way they went, and now again, as you said. The next day, tonight, this is the night now where the GMs really show their work.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All your NFL draft coverage. Bart Scott's got the knowledge. You got the questions. Let's get to them at 800-919-3776. All right, Bart, let's see. Let's begin with Jose in Brooklyn. Go ahead, Jose.
Hey, what's up, guys? I just wanted to start by saying that you guys are the best. A question for Bart. So considering we went with Banks in the first round, he's a stud. He reminds me of Jalen Ramsey a lot.
Yeah.
Physical, fast, tall, long. The first four receivers on the board were ripped right out of our hands right in front of us. What do you think we do to address receiver now that, you know, the notable four are gone?
I mean, it's the kid there from – did the kid from Tennessee go? Hayek or something like that?
No.
Yeah, he's
a big – I think it was just Njigba, Johnston, and the other two.
It's still quality there right there. That kid from Tennessee is a beast. And listen, I think that – listen, the Giants got a lot of receivers. Paris Campbell was a first-round draft pick from Ohio State, if I recall. Like, bringing in Jameson Crowder, he's a vet. He can play well. They got a lot of depth. They don't have that one guy that's going to dictate coverage. But they got some guys that can play some ball. I don't – remember, too, it's always that secondary market. It's a lot of guys – listen, Mike Evans could be up. Right, Mike Evans could be had, probably. Right, when you think about what's going on in Tampa.
Do you think we make a move for their linebacker?
Devin White. I know they love him. I know they love him, but I just don't know if they're going to let him go. He's too valuable. He's too good. He's one of these linebackers that acts as a dime backer too, because they shut down Kelce in the Super Bowl. You know, people don't want to talk about that. They always say, hey, they were just linebackers on tight ends.
Line. Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, listen, you still have some options. Like, remember, most of the best receivers have come in the second round, right? You think about Antonio Brown. You think about Emmanuel Sanders. You think about A.J. Brown. You think about, you know, just even Curly. You think about Marcus Colston.
Even DK.
So, like, you know, listen, don't panic yet. Just because we don't know about them don't mean that they don't exist, if that makes
sense. Good. Thanks, man. You guys are the best.
No problem.
Thank you, Jose. All right, let's continue. 800-919-3776. Bart answers all your draft questions. Jets and Giants. Charles in Tennessee. What's up, Charles?
Hey, what's up? How y'all guys doing?
All right.
I've been listening to y'all guys for a long time. And Bart and Hunt, I want to say, that pick that the Jets did last night, I absolutely love it, because – I can't remember the last time we had a double-digit sack guy.
Yeah.
Not to only mention, without three out of four guys that we're going to have on the line, it's going to solidify our pass rush for the next 10 years. Look at it.
Yeah. When you think about Jermaine Johnson, if he plays a couple contracts, you look at Franklin Myers, that disallows you if you have to make a tough decision there. Carl Lawson. You think about the kids Smart that they had last year. Listen, you want to be able to have a bunch of guys that can learn from each other, and you can be able to graduate them out of your program, because ultimately somebody's going to give them the big bag, and you have to decide who's going to be part of your core, who's going to be a two-contract guy, who's going to be a one-contract guy that you say, listen, man, I appreciate everything that you've done for us, but we can't pay you that, man. We can't, but thank you.
Yep, you're exactly right, And I had a lot of people telling me last night that New England, they fleeced us again. But just like last night, when I told them, I said, look, if they still ain't doing anything to help Mac Jones, who he got to throw the ball to? So I'm really not worried about New England.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about New England at all.
And consider this, right? Like, Donovan Smith is still
out there.
Whoever you draft, whoever you're trying to – listen, whoever you was drafting wasn't going to play. Right, because Dwayne Brown is your left tackle and Mekhi Becton is your right tackle. So they weren't going to play anyway. So really, it's still quality backups out there. Donovan Smith protected Tom Brady for the better part of his whole Tampa stay. And he's a quality guy. He's out there. He's a swing tackle. I know Taylor Lewan has been, you know, real injured, but he's still out there. It is still veterans out there that are just waiting to see what happens with the draft. And then you'll start signing some
teams
of those
with
guys.
Need.
A lot of people on the streets.
Yeah, and you look at also, you see teams with need and then teams that can win. And a lot of times those guys, you've mentioned this before, you can get those guys, might come at a cheaper rate if they have a chance to win. And they'll do it for 1 year.
Yeah.
Where they'll say, I'll go there. I'll take a 1 year. I'll see if I can win a chip. and then build off that. I'll go there to play with Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's part of this.
Yeah,
so you've been saying this for a while now, and not everybody wants to listen to it.
I don't know why, because guess what? We didn't spend full price for Jason Taylor. We didn't spend, we didn't spend real price for LaDainian Tomlinson.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't spend full price for Trevor Price. Like, you've seen the example underneath the Rex Ryan era.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we had a lot of guys that came out of nowhere that hadn't played and started for or past their prime that was like, yo, I'll come here to eat.
Yeah. And I mean, tell you what. I mean, how did LaDainian Tomlinson look in a Jet uniform? Was he pretty good? Was he
gangster?
All right?
Gangster.
I mean, he did just fine. Let's take Frank in New York City. What's up, Frank?
Mad Backer Han Solo, how you gents doing?
We're good today. How you
doing? Kuro Matados, what up?
Man, first of all, Mad Backer, thank you for your service for Jets Nation. Appreciate you, my brother.
All love.
Boston John, let's talk to me. Did you think, because, you know, Broderick Jones for the Jets wasn't the guy, because they didn't make a move and probably talk to Detroit, move up to 12, because I think Gibbs would have been there if they would have made a trade at 15.
Listen, I think they liked the Darnell Wright guy who, you know, everybody's looking at the Bears. Like, this dude got a lot of potential, man, once he can harness some of that anger he got. But you like that anger, that aggressiveness, you know, him trying to lay people out. You know, but, you know, sometimes you move up and you're aggressive, and we've seen Joe Douglas move up for Vera Tucker. We've seen him move up for Jermaine Johnson, move up for Breece Hall. But you can't do that every year. You can't give up assets. You already gave up assets to get the quarterback. So now you just take best player available. The Jets don't have nearly as many holes as they had before, right? When they didn't have, you know, A-plus players, then they were aggressive to move up to get them. But now that they have a solid core, this is about finding best player available, and they usually just fall to you. And this kid fell to him. And if you can find a dominant player in his position, you can be weaker at other positions. That's just how it is. Mm-hmm. Nobody can have the great players in every position. So if you got a great player falling to you, say, well, okay, we'll figure out how to patch that hole up. But this guy's going to make an impact in our system because he's going to be a guy that's coming out, you know, in the fourth quarter, 2-minute drill, and he's only on play 12, and he jacked him on Mountain Dew, and his tackle be getting his ass wore out by Lawson, getting his ass wore out by Jermaine Johnson, Bryce Huff, and this dude coming off fresh, and they like, yo, this dude had a whole nother gear.
Hasn't that been the Jets' strength? Okay. I mean, Frank, and thanks for the call, Frank. Like that's the one thing that they talked a lot about last year with Jets. That Jets,
they were 8-10 deep. They were the only team that had 11 D linemen.
Waves at you, and by the end of the game, the other team's offensive line was wore out. And now, when you consider that the Jet offense won't be so terrible that the defense will have to be out there so long,
they're going to be wore out earlier,
a little more fresher, right?
Yeah, they're going to be wore out earlier because they're going to be in pass. Hopefully by third quarter, they in predictable pass predicament because they down by two scores and they trying to catch up. You just pinning these dudes' ears. This is take a lot more to pass rush than it does to play the run because you're chasing and you're trying to beat somebody for seconds, right? You need fresh bodies and guys that can do that.
All right, let's continue to keep the calls stacked, racked, and ready to go. Love this. We got a lot of great NFL draft energy going on right now. We will get to other things. We've got hockey tonight. I told everybody – I'm not working tonight. Tonight's all about just hanging out, having fun. I'm going to the Islanders game tonight at UBS Arena. Islanders, Hurricanes, that is game 6. It is a huge game. Can they force a game 7? I want the building lit. It's my first time in the new arena. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be great. I want to hear from all you who are going to the game. Who's all going to the game? Where are my Islander fans at right now? That's what I'm about. That's the biggest game tonight in the area. There's no bigger game than that one in the area. And then we got tomorrow at the Garden where it gets loud again. Rangers-Devils, can they survive? And then, of course, Sunday is your Game 1 Knicks Heat. I don't have to say anything more. Just say Knicks Heat playoff series. That's all you need to know. We also have the draft tonight. The second round, third round, you get tonight where you really start to see a team come together, a draft plan come together.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Before we get back to the calls, just like 30-second take, though, on what you saw at the top of the draft. Fortunately, neither team in New York, usually we're in the conversation up there, but we're not in this draft. So you had three quarterbacks taken in the first four picks, but not quite what we expected. Will Levis, who was talked about so much as somebody that could go as high as 1, which was crazy out of Kentucky, He had his, you know, Aaron Rodgers moment where he just stayed in the draft, and then he never got picked.
Yo.
Which was kind of sad to watch.
Nah, man. Hey.
It's sad to – well, let's be honest. It's sad to watch.
Hey, that's him. Like, I told you, like, once C.J. Stroud was picked, it was nobody that was willing to move up. And, you know –
Yeah, Bryce Young – all right, so Bryce Young went number one.
Yep.
C.J. Stroud went number two to the Texans. Obviously, number one was to the Panthers.
So that took the Titans out of it.
Right. And then at number four, this one, man, Anthony Richardson, who's
a
physical specimen. The Colts haven't gotten a quarterback right in a long time. Like Andrew Luck and then just a lot of guessing. But Anthony Richardson out of Florida went four.
That's risky, man.
Yeah, all right, that's what I was going to ask you. Are you feeling this?
I'm not. You know, they expect to strike gold twice. I think maybe it's some maturity issues there. This guy thinking he's a freak, he's an alien, all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Listen, he only played 13 games. And, you know, I'm assuming that the coach, I forget his name, it's two of them, Cassiani, whatever his name, I don't know, Castillo, whatever his name, whatever. The head coach was the offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles. And he saw
Steichen.
And so he saw what Jalen Hurts and what that system can be, because that's a user-friendly system. Mm-hmm. It's a read. It's a box count. You know, it's simple. It's RPO game. And he's seen what it could be. So he's imagining probably, oh, man, I got a better athlete, a bigger guy, a faster guy, a guy with a strong arm. But you still have to be able to read defenses. And one thing you can say about Jalen Hurts, yeah, he was a second-round draft pick, but he played 42 games in college in high-leverage, high-pressure situations. Like, this guy didn't get Florida nowhere. Like, he only played 13 games. So his defenses and things that he's not accustomed to processing. But because where he was picked, they're going to expect him to play this year. I know they got Gardner Minshew, but if they're losing – you don't think they're going to – and you can't – even though Minshew was a backup to Jalen Hurts and they were in a similar system, he doesn't do the same things that he does. So now, like, you're not going to – so now when Richardson comes in, the offense got to get accustomed and used to playing a totally different way with a totally different rhythm because the quarterbacks are so different. I just don't get this one. They're swinging big, and they're betting on Steichen's ability to develop quarterbacks. Yes, he developed Justin Herbert. But Herbert had played – Herbert stayed – when we were sucking for a duck, he stayed in another year. Mm-hmm. This dude got seasoning, and experience matters. When we look at all the great quarterbacks, the guys that have come out and had impact, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Flacco, like these are all guys that played a lot in college. That's all the guys that have struggled, Mark Sanchez,
Zach Wilson, Josh Freeman,
Christian Ponder, right? These guys all just was flashing the pants and got out there and got exposed because they couldn't read defenses.
Trey Lance, you know. Like
yeah, Trey Lance. I'm surprised he ain't got traded. He might get traded today for a second-round draft pick.
Yeah, it's actually a possibility that he will. All right, we got a lot of calls to get to. Let's get to them. 800-919-3776. Wolf is in Scotch Plains. Wolfie.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
What up, Wolf?
I got two quick points. And then I want to ask you a question. Ultimately, I'm going to nitpick Douglas a little bit. I think he should have just given Green Bay our first-round pick this year, keep the second, and as well as keep the next year's first, because I think we could have gotten McDonald in the second round the way it ended up working out. Second, I think we might have messed up the Patriots draft. The Packers took that guy, Van Ness.
Yeah.
That's a Belichick guy. Skoronski was already off the board by then. Who was really left of value for them? Nobody. So I think as much as we say they might have messed up our draft by trading it and our tackle is now off the board.
Right. They traded 14 to the Steelers who wanted a tackle, and they took Broderick Jones, which left the Jets without a tackle to get. But you're right, because Van Ness, who's a defensive end out of Iowa, that was somebody that the Patriots certainly had on their board, knowing the Jets weren't going to go in that direction. And all this movement kind of screwed it up. So, yeah. And Skoronski was gone by 11 as he and Paris Johnson were the first tackles to go off the board.
Yeah, I think nobody expected Darnell Wright to get picked that high. You know what I mean? I think that kind of
– No, that's right. I forgot about Wright also. Right.
Yeah, because I thought the Jets would have been comfortable with him too because he had the flexibility to play guard
yep.
and tackle.
Versatility. Yeah.
But this is the thing, though. The Jets still have an opportunity to go out and address that position, man. It is just keep in the back of your mind that Vera Tucker played left tackle and right tackle at a high level. So they have guys that can move, and Max Mitchell played at a high level. They're going to go out, I believe, because remember, George Fant is not there, right? They're going to go out and get a veteran guy, whether it's Donovan Smith, Taylor Lewan, whether it's Isaiah Wynn. These are backups that can play at a high level, but they're not starters. So you're good. Like, you weren't drafting the starter this year anyway. You were drafting a future starter. So who cares? You can address that in free agency next year. Like, you know, but you have guys in place now. Now you just want to get a little depth.
Now let's take Pete in Jersey. What's up, Pete? Pete.
Yeah, hi, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Hello? Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
We got you.
Good. Bart, I'm a huge fan of yours. You and David Harris were probably the best linebackers the Jets have ever had, and huge fans.
I appreciate it. I was with the Black Hammer a couple weeks ago when DR for Willie's 40th birthday party, doing some hood rat stuff.
Yo, he's a beast. I'm telling you, I'd be very surprised if he doesn't make the Hall of Fame. That guy he was the quietest, just threat. Nobody really talked about him, but he was just such a beast, dude.
Yeah, super solid, man. Super solid. He's actually training for training for a marathon in Grand Rapids. This tells you he's bored as hell in his afterlife.
I'm telling you, I'm not surprised. The guy's just nonstop moving. I just want to say that I agree with Han about how the Jets draft was good. I think that pick, if the Jets are going to do what everybody thinks they're going to do, we need that rotation of these guys that are going to be there in the fourth quarter, hitting the hell out of the quarterback.
Yep.
So I think it was a great pick. We could always get an offensive lineman later on. I don't think it's a big deal at all. And plus, I don't think that I'm anybody to be commenting on draft. I feel guys know what they're doing. They get paid to do what they do, and I trust them.
That's the words I was looking for, Pete. Thanks for the call. It's the idea. It's like, has Joe Douglas not bought at least some of your trust at this point? Like, all right, you know, they had a plan. They know what they're doing. I mean, come on. Yeah. Come on, guys. I understand you're frustrated, or you wanted to come away and you want to just keep stacking W's so everybody can talk about how great you are. And then when analysts go on national TV and go, what are the Jets doing here? I don't know what they're doing. You don't like that. It makes you feel bad about your team. Don't listen to it. It's Joe freaking Douglas.
And remember last year, that's when you had the oohs and ahs. We did that. We're not in that position no more. Thank God. We're not in that position where we got to get the we getting pieces that fit the puzzle. Like, and you can never judge somebody's first move. You don't know what the other moves to follow. You know how many more draft picks it is? Yeah. What if the Jets move back into the second round again? So, you know, you don't know what the hell they doing today.
That's right. And we shall see. And I'll tell you what, as we were looking at it and we were looking at the second round of different things that could happen, if you're the Jets, if you're a Jets fan, keep an eye on Joe Tippmann, center out of Wisconsin. The guy's 6'6", 330. You don't normally see centers at 6'6", right?
Exactly.
Like, he's a big dude.
I think Matt Burke was the only one, but he was that tall because his brain was so big because he went to Stanford.
but he is somebody that is a highly rated center. You certainly can use one if you're the Jets. And it's just, you know, they brought back McGovern, but this is – that would be a name that, like, if they got him.
I forgot. I forgot Osiris Torrance is still out there, man, from Florida. Big son of a you-know-what.
That is another name, yes.
I forgot he was out there, and he's they got him projected at 40 maybe to go.
Yeah, he's
maybe
a guard.
Maybe the Jets get aggressive. Maybe the Jets get aggressive and move up for him. I forgot that big daddy was there. See, y'all don't be knowing what y'all talking about, man. Just sit down and wait.
Osiris. I'm the Osiris of this.
You know what I'm saying?
Anybody know that reference? 800-919-3776. All right, so we got the draft conversation to continue with you. We got your calls. We'll keep them going. Bart is here to answer all your questions. The draft is always a fun time of year for football fans. But I'll tell you what, though, Bart, as we continue, a lot to get into. Knicks and the Heat begin this weekend. It is a Friday, so we got to start looking forward to that stuff. I've got a game to go to tonight. I want to hear from all you Islander fans. Who's going tonight to UBS?
Are you drinking Slits or Moles and Ice or 2020?
I'm definitely not doing Moles and Ice. I'm doing Barn Rocker.
Old English?
No, Barn Rocker.
St. Yeah. Ives?
No, no, Barnrock.
Who's a real saint? You know St. Ives is a real saint.
He's a real saint. We looked that up. Remember we did that?
Yeah, I know. No.
The drink of choice tonight, my friend, is Barnrocker.
Barnrocker.
We will be rocking the barn tonight.
Mm.
I am looking forward to this. I want to hear from my Islander fans, the Rangers as well. You Ranger fans and Devils fans, I think the Rangers are in Barney. Barney Rubble.
They in trouble.
Trouble!
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.